It's because she's beautiful, you know. That's all it is. They don't really care about the rest of it. She gets a pass at life.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We're bringing you all the updates you want on whether or not you should take the time to read that book your friend sent you on BookTok or Bookstagram or wherever else you get your social media download. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening, everyone. And for the first time in podcast history, we have a listener requested book. So thank you, Genesis, for requesting My Sister, the Serial Killer, which, as the title suggests, is kind of a dark humor, almost psychological book set in Nigeria about an older sister who helps her younger sister cover up multiple murders against her exes, ex-boyfriends, ex-lovers, and kind of how that unfolds in their everyday life in Nigeria. They live in Lagos. So it's also our first Nigerian book that we are reviewing. So that's kind of like a brief sneak peek into the book. The sister is a doctor. So there's a lot of anatomical. She's a nurse, but there's a lot of medical field stuff and like how she knows about how to hide a dead body, and a lot of kind of familial issues and familial bonds that run deep.
Sister tension.
Casey and I love a good sister drama.
We do.
That is our life. My God.
This book, I'll get out ahead of it and give this book one compliment. It wrote sister tension really well. I wanted to just smack the shit out of both of them at different points during the book. And it was so realistic because that's how sisters are.
And it's written from the older sister point of view, which both Casey and I are. Yeah. And I was like,
The dynamics made sense. Don't you worry, y'all. There's a question about that in the future of this podcast, because I recognize that as well.
Also, like, before we get to some of our reviews, want to point out a lot of the reviews were like, okay, this should be called a novella. It's way shorter than I anticipated. And some were like, this is not a thriller. Because I think some people bill it as a thriller. I don't really know what I would call it, but don't go in with, like, expectations for what you think it would be, because it's going to not fit that.
Right. I went in blind, and I definitely agree. I saw also reviews that were saying it's supposed to be a dark comedy. I thought there were moments that were funny, but I would definitely not say it was a dark comedy. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I kind of said dark humor almost, because it's not comedy, but there's some like satirical aspects of it when it comes to like society and how women are impacted and how they kind of go through the world in Nigeria as two women. And both the negatives of that and the positives, which are kind of getting away with murder because of it.
And you can tell from the tone, like, it's a recent, right? I feel like the voice is very similar to what a lot of us think and interact in as young women. So, like, absolutely. I think that's where it almost comes off as funny.
If you're a woman, it's funny.
Well, it's also the main character's commentary is so sassy sometimes that I just loved it. Like, she's talking about her sister who's literally killing people, and it sounds like they're arguing over the remote.
Pretty much.
So, anyway, let's get to the reviews now. What do you guys have?
All right. Can I kick us off?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to read, like, a really short one, and it's not my real one, but I thought it was funny. A 4-star on Storygraph said simply, "Everyone needs to go to jail." I was like, you're not wrong. But so the real one I want to read is a 3-star from Storygraph. It says, "This is a short novel exploring the nature of loyalty, the things that draw us together and keep us together, the things that keep us apart, and the patterns we follow despite our best intentions to change. It's fairly understated for a book about a serial killer, which I find interesting. It's like the murders are secondary to the relationship between the two sisters. The ending feels unsatisfying, but also just like the ending would have to be." I thought that summed up kind of how I felt very well, but in like way more eloquent words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Catherine, you want to go next?
Sure. I have kind of on the similar vein with a 3-star review by Emma on Goodreads, who says, Honestly, I had more fun thinking about me and my sisters forming an elite team of serial killers than I did reading this. Thought y'all would get a kick out of that. I will never understand books that have extremely fun sounding plots and then are boring. It feels like the story spent more time on the main character's unrequited crush on a doctor, boring, sad, than it did on having a sister who kills all her boyfriends. Rad, dreamy, exciting, and so on. In other words, this book sounded like my dream and turned into my nightmare. Really, it was just an unremarkable read for me. I won't remember much about it, these characters, or this writing style, or this narrative. Bottom line, the murder of my hopes and dreams at the hands of this book was the most consequential murder of all.
You said how many stars?
Three. Felt a little high for this kind of review, but I liked the beginning of it. That's why I kind of wanted to read it.
That was brutal for a 3-star.
Also poetic. I mean, she spent time thinking about that one. Okay. Mine, also kind of funny, not as well written. JD. Yeah, JD, something like that. Gave a 1-star review. And it is 1-star! Exclamation point. The 2019 Read I Was Most Afraid to Hate Award. I found this mostly repulsive. In what kind of world is serial killing and psychopathy, however you pronounce it, funny? A feminist satire, my ass. The 1-star is for the very interesting cultural and social setting. I was like, okay. I definitely did not feel that negative about it. Also, never saw anyone else saying this was supposed to be like feminist satire, though I do think there's a lot of feminist commentary about the status of women, but I thought that was good. So
I wouldn't even consider it like feminist commentary. It's just being a woman in the world and experiencing it.
Yeah, it's just realistic.
Yeah.
I'd also say there's probably some stuff it's in there that we miss because we are not Nigerian, but there are a lot of aspects that just being a woman you can appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's just, it's written by a woman in a realistic vein. Well, it looks like the overall Goodreads rating is a 3.7 out of 5, and the overall Amazon rating is a 4.1 out of 5. So our reviews are a little heavy or a little on the low side of it, but how did y'all shake out when it comes to this book?
I can go first. I rate this book 3 stars. I think it's an enjoyable read. It's a quick read. I think like there was not really much to not like. The main things that I didn't like, or like the reason it's 3 stars and not more, is that A, I felt like it was kind of a standard storyline. I think what I found interesting was that it was sort of like a typical crime story, but told from like a different cultural perspective. And so I think you get some like more interesting like nuance from that. Outside of that, I didn't feel like it was very complex. The ending let me down. And this is, I can't say this because it's a spoiler, but there was a decision made with the leading male character that I think let out a lot of the tension in the book. And so I think the ending could have been more complicated than it was. So that's why it's only 3 stars, but I would recommend it. I enjoyed it. It was super fast.
I came in right around where Amazon and Goodreads did. I came in at a 4-star. I went in not knowing what to expect and was pleasantly surprised. And I love how bold the title is. Like, you know what you're getting from that, but you don't know, like, okay, that's, if that's like the main point of the plot, what's going to be like, you know, the point of the story. And I thought it was really fun to explore the sister dynamic and thinking through, would I help my sister hide a body, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't know. It was really quick. And yeah, the ending was like a little disappointing to me, but I liked how it was so very like mundane. Like it read like a Criminal Minds episode or something. Like this could happen, you know?
Right.
I think we're so used to reading.
Sorry, I was just going to say the sister dynamic was also a highlight for me. I thought it was so good.
Yeah. We've definitely been reading too much fantasy because we're expecting like this like fantastical like cliffhanger ending, but this is definitely more of a mundane book of an ending, as if this really could happen. And I'm sure in some forms this does happen, question mark. I mean, family members do cover up murder all the time.
I don't know if all the time is the right word, but they certainly
you can totally see it happening.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's like, how far do you go for someone you love? Mm-hmm. That's right. The whole point of the story.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No matter how complicated that relationship is.
Yeah. I'm closer to Casey and I gave it 3 stars. It was a good book, but it wasn't a great book, which is what I would categorize like 4 or 5 star. My favorite parts about it were definitely the sister relationship and just like the familial relationship of how they interacted with their father and their mother. But outside of all of that, the other parts were kind of just fluff for me, where I was like, I don't know if I really care about this. I kind of wanted more of the dynamics with the sisters that I did care about, like her job or her relationships. Like, I just was really a lot more fascinated by the sisters. So that's kind of why I gave it 3, but it's a really quick read. So I would recommend it to really anyone.
Let's jump into the meat then. More plot or character driven?
This is kind of interesting because the main character is sort of helpless in the plot because the plot is created by her sister who kills people. But the book is a lot about their interiority and their relationship. So I feel like it's kind of a combination because it's really about the main character and her sister figuring out how they're going to navigate this situation together. So I don't know. I feel like I could go both ways.
I'm going 100% character. I'm going to stake my claim on that one. I mean, none of this would happen if it weren't for like the things that make up each of the characters and how they interact, like the sister relationships specifically, the other familial relationships, and then dating relationships. I think it's all a circumstance of characters and how they interact.
Yeah, I would probably go character driven as well, but it's not the character driven that we're used to in other books. It's a character outside of the main character that is driving the plot and the like in the main story. So it's the sub character, the sister, that is driving the whole story, essentially, and her actions cause reactions. So yeah, I think it's character, but it's sub character driven.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
Okay. Have you read other books by the author? And I don't think we mentioned the author because I think we're all afraid to try and pronounce her name. I think it's Oyinkan Braithwaite is how I'm going to attempt to pronounce that. So have you read other books by her?
I haven't.
Okay, yeah, none of us have.
But it looks like she has published other books. Treasure, The Baby Is Mine. And then she's done some short stories where she's published alongside other authors.
I mean, if her other books are as like kind of quippy and quick as this one, I'd be happy to pick up another one.
To me, it looks like yes, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, they're very quick. One's only 31 pages.
Oh, my gosh.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
That's like a 5-minute read. No.
Yeah, she definitely writes more short stories is what I'm thinking.
Okay. Yeah, well, speaking of pacing of the book, how long did it take you to read? And on this one, guys, I will say Catherine's not a psychopath when she gives her answer. It's probably the same for all of us.
Yeah, Catherine, do you want to go first then?
Fine. It took me less than 2 hours to read. I finished a book. It was 8 o'clock at night and I felt like I could continue on another book. And this opened up in the library. And then the next thing I knew, it was like 9:30, 10. So it's a really quick book.
Yeah. And I read it in like 2 or 3 hours. So
I think it also took me just a couple hours. I do remember I read it in 2 sittings. I would have read it in 1, but my Kindle died, which, you know, like never happens, but this is when it chose to die. So I had to put it on pause and I would have kept reading if I could have.
Yeah. I read straight through like during work, like actually during the workday, which I probably shouldn't advertise, but that's how quick it was, is I was just finished it like in a slow lull at work.
Yeah, because the
Yeah,
chapters
grab it
are
on your
so
lunch break, girlies.
Yeah.
chapter is so incredibly short that you just keep continuing to read because they're like 2 pages long. So you're just like, okay, I have to continue reading. It's like, oh, one more chapter, and then suddenly the book's done.
Right, and that's, we'll get into it, I'm sure, but that's kind of why I hated the ending, is because it was just like, go, 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 go. Oh, it's done. I was like, oh, shoot.
Right.
Okay. Would you watch a movie or a TV show about this book? I think this would be a super fun TV show series where, like, every episode she's trying to like cover up some of her sister's shenanigans.
Right. It does give, I don't think it's the same thing as Dexter, but it gives Dexter vibes, where that would be the same kind of like television show it would be. And I think it'd be interesting.
I'm just going to go back to my tried and true method of an HBO miniseries, and each of the episode is named after each one of the deceased victims. Pretty cool.
That would be cool. Yeah, I'd be interested. I feel like a TV show could even take it farther than the book, so I would be like really curious to see it adapted for screen and dramatized further.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of open-ended potential with this story. Bring us a book series.
I'd read a series.
Well, are we at our busy girl rating?
Think so.
Yeah,
I
I'm just
think it
gonna
might be
say it.
obvious. Yeah.
It's
Yeah, mine is also a five.
It's a six. It is the best busy girl book we have read for this podcast.
It
I
really
read
is
a review that
perfect.
said DNF. I was like, how?
Yeah.
How?
I'm like, you couldn't persevere through 150 pages? Like, come on.
Like, it was over before I knew I started.
Right. I think it's good. It's, again, it didn't blow my mind, but it was exciting. I really can't complain about it. I liked it, and it was over so fast. It's also because of the chapters, like Catherine said, it's really easy to pick up and put down if you wanted to.
Well.
So, yeah, you'll finish it once, I think, but.
Yeah. Like it's so easy to read after a long work day, even. Like there's no excuse.
All right, well, you get the gist. Her sister's a serial killer. That's not a spoiler, that's the title. So let's get into the actual spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Love that transition.
It's true. So this book is told from the perspective of, I believe it's pronounced Kuride. Sorry to if we have Nigerian listeners, but the older sister and her younger sister really has no path in life, is really beautiful and just kind of skirts by on that and her parents' money, and dates around and tends to kill the people she dates. And the older sister helps her cover it up. Why?
I like this question because I think this is definitely something that all readers are wondering as you're in the book, and it kind of slowly answers that question like in tiny little pieces as you go. For me, like by the end, I feel like the answer is the first time Kuride Day, or however you say it, genuinely believed that her sister was the victim. You know, I think it's very natural to like give your family members the benefit of the doubt and feel like they're telling you the truth. And then if you're like in for a penny, you're in for a pound, you know, like now there's another one and you helped cover up the last one. So now it's a little easier to cover up this one. And now there's three and like you've done it two other times. So if your sister's caught now, you're in it. And so I feel like it was like quicksand. Like she just stepped in and didn't realize what she was in the middle of until it was too late.
Yeah, and to be fair with the first one especially, Ayula is, I believe, the younger sister's name. Again, sorry, Nigerian listeners.
I found a Goodreads user who claims it's Kuride, or like holiday, Koride,
Corday?
Koride in Iola.
Iola. Iola.
Oh.
Okay, I'll go with
Yeah,
that.
Koride and Iola.
Okay. Iola, she claims at the first one that he was trying to sexually assault her or was physically harming her, which unfortunately that does happen to a lot of women of experience domestic assault and domestic violence. So it's a perfectly not necessarily plausible thing for murder or like morally right. But when it's your sister and she's saying like he was abusing me, so I defended myself, you plausibly could think that that seems like reason enough to help her get away with murder, essentially. Then on the second one, yeah, it's again like, okay, I guess I could kind of see it. Maybe, maybe not. They've had some pretty troubled past with men, especially their father being abusive. And then at the third one, you see her questioning it of like, it seems like you are a serial killer at this point. And then it's just the morality of it is like, I've already covered up two. I've got to cover up the third. And then just because she's always protected her sister, protected her from her father's abuse, protected her from expectations that was set for the older sister. So the younger sister was really sheltered in the sense that she was protected from a lot of the abuse that the older sister received.
Yeah, I think I follow you on like at the beginning. Sure, you can claim self-defense maybe. And in the U.S., like, okay, fess up, it's self-defense. Like, you're probably, you know, good, clean, clear. But she does mention how, like, bumbling the Lagos police are throughout the book. So, like, the people don't totally trust them. But then when it keeps going, you're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
And I feel like I settled on, it wasn't necessarily out of love for her sister that she continued to help her, but out of obligation to her family. Because she is kind of like the sensible one of the family. She's the only one with a job. She's kind of like holding them together barely. So I think it's just out of obligation that she like just wants the family to still exist.
Right. It definitely felt like self-preservation kind of, but like self-preservation mixed with like the preservation of your social group is also a form of self-preservation. Because you all need each other to survive. And she just, her options were turn in her sister, possibly face jail time herself, possibly not even be believed, which we saw multiple times in the book because her sister's beautiful. And so all of these men give her the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, she was just too implicated and it was too hard for her to go against all of the things that she had already done. Which I can kind of understand of like, I don't know if I'd help my sister hide a body, but like maybe I would one time. But then if you think about it, you're like, but then if you do it one time, you might as well do it another time. Like, you know, like you can see how it like becomes a slippery slope. And now you're, you know, I cannot even fathom why my sister would need me to hide a body more than once, much less one singular time. But like, you know, you can see if your sister was a serial killer, I feel like I can kind of understand how you're all of a sudden in the middle of something you didn't realize you were in, and now it's too late.
Yeah, like, I go to bat for my sister. Like, and like, nothing makes me more angry than when someone is unjust to my sister. I've packed bags and been like foot out the door ready to go like to my sister's college and defend her before she was like, oh my God, stop. Like, I am that kind of sister. And even I would be like, yeah, I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know if we should keep doing this. Like, it takes that familial need to like the extreme in this book. And I think that's why it's interesting. It like, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. The one thing that drove me crazy about their particular sister dynamic was like, the lack of accountability to each other and lack of questions. Like when I say I would maybe help my sisters hide a body one time, that's like after a full interrogation. Like you're telling me the whole story. Like I would have had to have like seen the signs myself. Like I would have like approached it like with my own mind as well of being like, I'm not just going to do this with you. Like, we're going to talk about what happened and like why we can't go to the police and like what is our best course of action. And like, if it happened again, you know, damn sure I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, you know, and there was none of that like accountability to each other. I mean, I have friends who, again, I also think would ride or die for me, but I don't think they'd ride for die for me without any questions. Like,
yeah. And like, I think that the part of the book that I was stuck on and why I kind of ended up at a 3 stars is that lack of communication between her and her sister. Like, I wanted more of it. It left me wanting. And a lot of it, I loved Karide's internal monologue, and I loved her like decision making and her thinking, and that was fun. But she was interacting with other characters so much and not interacting with her sister and not questioning her and not talking with her as much. And I'm like, no, you need to like go and talk to your sister.
That was, I don't know, I think that's what made it interesting, is how frustrating it was. And also, like, my sister and I are very, very close, and I would have a hard time doing this for her. Korede and Ayla don't even seem to like each other, really.
Yeah. So what it is, though, is it's the trauma bond.
Right.
They went through it together. So now, like, regardless of, like, actual, like, emotional intimacy or understanding, they have this primal need to protect and defend each other because that's how they survived their childhood.
Well, and, like, especially Korede just doesn't really have anything else going for her. She's at this kind of, like, run-of-the-mill job she doesn't love, doesn't hate, and has, like, no friends. And I don't know, the one, I don't know if I'm skipping ahead, but when I really was like, this is getting extreme, is when Ayla steals the boy, the doctor, yes, that Korede likes. I was like, I'd be like, bitch, no, I'm turning you in now.
Right. Okay. Let's just get into this, because this is, like, my favorite part of the book. This is, like, my favorite point of tension is the man. What is his name? I don't even remember.
Tade?
Yeah, I think I was saying it Tade, but that's obviously an American pronunciation. Again, well, we'll apologize for a third time, a fourth time if we need to. I loved that the sister then goes for him, because I was like, this is amazing tension. This is the best tension possible, where this older sister is in love with him and the younger sister is gonna kill him, and you can see the train wreck coming, and she's really put in this situation of, like, you have to pick your loyalties. Like, is blood thicker than water? Like, it's putting it to the test. Like, you know your sister's a bad person, but, like, you feel like you owe her all these things. Like, what are you gonna do? And my gripe with the book is that they start to kind of let the sister off the hook in that decision, because you start to see that Tade or Tade is not a great guy. On one hand, I liked it because it's realistic. She had really idealized him to the point that it was like, is he even that cool? Is he even that great? But I didn't like that it kind of made her decision to defend her sister more reasonable, almost. I wanted her to have to make the decision at its, like, most difficult point, if that makes sense. I think that would have made a better story. But I just, like, loved that whole plot line.
I agree. And, like you said, the tension, because you see the train wreck coming. But then Ayla picks the doctor over her sister and is like, hey, my sister might kill you. And he's like, you're just so freaking jealous. And she does, like, hide the ring and stuff. But, like, she's like, all right, I told you so. Have fun dying. Like, diffuses the tension, but it's also kind of like, all right, that's your comeuppance.
Right.
I mean, I was here for that, because I was like, if you're going to be an idiot, you're going to be an idiot. But I think that's, like, I get Casey's point about, they almost made him seem too bad, so it, like, lets her off in her decision for her sister, because she does end up choosing her sister again. I liked
only the part, because he treats her like shit for telling on her sister.
Yes. Yeah. I will say I liked that part, and I liked the part where you realize that he really is infatuated with beauty and not intelligence, because I think that's a very realistic thing that happens. And so I really loved that social commentary added into the book, and how this idea of, like, love is only for the beautiful is what's said in the book. And so I really loved that kind of nugget. I didn't love necessarily all the other portions of him to make him almost villainous or bad. I would have loved it if he was more gray area of, like, he's just a dude who likes pretty women. Like, that would have been fine for me. But yeah, going after her about, like, oh, you're just jealous of your sister, she told me so. It's like, well, you're a dumbass then.
Yeah.
You get what's coming.
I kind of wanted him to not be morally gray. I wanted him to kind of stay this like shining prince on a white horse, you know, kind of thing, so that the stakes were way higher for her to choose between the doctor and her sister. And right. Like, I'm not mad that it didn't do that, but that's kind of what I expected and think it would have made the tension last a little longer. Could have played out the book even longer, but, you know.
I agree. Also, hearing that Ayla, how is it again?
Ayla.
Ayla. E-Y-E. Hearing that she had been talking shit about her older sister, I was like, bro, you need to kill. The older sister needs to turn on her. Like, let's get some knives out. Like, this girl is driving me crazy. Because she was so not thankful for her sister literally hiding dead bodies for her. Like, her sister is doing all of the work. Like, Ayla straight up steals her man and, like, knows she steals her man. And even though she can have anyone and doesn't even care about these men because she, like, fucking murders them. And so I was like, this is part of why the ending, I feel like, was unsatisfactory to me, is I wanted Corday to reach her breaking point. I wanted her to be like, I've handled all I can handle and see what she does when she gets there, because I think the book takes you right up to that point and then doesn't push it over the edge. And I wanted, you know, I wanted that like final, like what is going to happen when it bends and finally breaks.
I almost wanted like she chooses neither. Like, she's just like, fuck yes. You both.
I wanted her to be a serial killer and fucking murder them all. Like, they were all treating her like shit. I was like, fight back. Like,
that's what I was going to say. I kind of hope she was going to be the one to attempt to murder Tade, whatever. But she just kind of sits back and watch it all burn. And it's, I don't know. I don't know which is more satisfactory. I didn't mind either way it could have gone.
Okay. And what did y'all think about her telling the unconscious man all of this information?
The whole time I knew it was going to happen with that. I was like, we all know people who are unconscious can actually hear what you're saying. And so I was like sipping my tea, just like waiting for like the whole book. I was just like waiting for that to like become relevant. This is another one point in the book though, that I kind of loved it, but I'm also not sure how I feel about it, that he was willing to let her handle it without interference. I feel like if someone told me that their sister was murdering people, if I was in a coma, when I woke up, I would be doing anything I could to like get accountability for those people. Like, I would not have had his reaction at all. So I was like, interesting, but not sure I totally believe it, that he's just like, I'll let you decide whether or not you turn in your sister.
That's because we're all like lawful good, lawful neutral people. Like, yeah. We are rule followers and achievers. And yeah, this book is supposed to drive you nuts in that case.
Yeah, I'm like, ah.
I mean, okay. But
I loved it because it did enhance that feeling of chaos. Like, this book at points just feels like utter chaos. You feel like you're overwhelmed and drowning, and it's so intentional. And so I liked that part of it.
Okay. So I don't know if I'm totally on the page of like, if I woke up from a coma after hearing information about someone's sister, maybe or may or may not be a serial killer, I would turn that information in, because one, I'd probably think I'm going crazy, if anything, or if it was just a really bad dream. The part that was like was not believable for me was him like falling in love with her.
Yeah.
And him like trying to start leave his wife and start a relationship with her after she's just been telling him that like, oh yeah, by the way, my sister is a serial killer. Like, I would be like, get the fuck away from me.
Maybe I watched too much Grey's Anatomy growing up, but I was like, yeah, coma patient love story.
But I was like, why do I low-key want them to be together?
Oh yeah.
What I wanted to happen. I wanted them to get together and them to like end up murdering the other two, and then like going on their merry way, and it being like, are they gonna kill more people and be like a serial killer couple now? Who knows? Like, I just wanted them to like be together and like somehow it work out.
I am so shook that the rom-com person, me, and the romance novel person is not rooting for them to get together, and y'all two are.
It's because we love the, I mean, especially me, I love the thrillers. I'm rooting for all the chaos, all the dark, twisted chaos.
And I was really rooting for our MC. Like, I wanted her to get some justice for the way she was treated. And I feel like he was the only character who really saw her, and it felt like such a relief after watching her just be pushed aside and shit on. I was like, finally some justice in the world for this woman. Like, it just felt good, and I wanted it to just be a happy ending.
Right. The only people that ever remotely kind of cared about her were the coma man and the housekeeper girl. Like, how tragic of a life is that? So I was rooting for her.
Exactly.
Especially once the doctor, you were like, meh, on him. I was like, all right, coma patient it is.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was rooting for her, but I wasn't necessarily rooting for that relationship.
So, talking about all of this murderer stuff, what we don't get, like, an explicit explanation for is, why does Ayla kill all these people who adore her and love her beauty? Why does she do it? What do you guys think we were supposed to infer?
I definitely feel like the book kind of sets you up for, like, her psychopathicness, her inability to care for other people was kind of triggered by the dad's abuse. And then these men that she kills are, like, residual payback almost to men for, like, the injustices that she went through. It also definitely feels like, I mean, the line is blurry, you know. It seems like the whole world values her just because she's beautiful, and so that almost seems like her justification for it, of like, they're just using me and they just want me to, like, fulfill their own purposes, but they don't really value me, and so, like, I'm a serial killer, and so I kill them. But then the line gets blurry of, like, are they all bad guys? Like, it doesn't seem like all of them are treating her badly. Like, you know, it's obviously not right to kill people just because someone, you know, doesn't treat you well. Like, you don't have to be with them if they don't treat you well. And so, but anyway, that was my take of, like, this is sprung and grown from her dad's abuse.
I think it's two parts to this question, where it's like, one part is she's very smart and very cerebral, and when you have conversations with her, she's very, like, she knows what society is and sees its really dark parts, and the sense that, like, beauty is valued way too high instead of intelligence, and, like, she's been underestimated over and over and over again. And then it's also that familial trauma and that psychopathy almost and sociopathy. And it's just so interesting because, like, I don't think it's totally answered also. I think it's really just situational, but also mental, and that society. And honestly, I couldn't tell you if any of them really deserved it, because I could see, based off of how the world was portrayed in this book, that there is kind of an acceptance of domestic violence and domestic abuse between partnerships and relationships. And maybe she didn't want to put up with that, and so she responded in kind with more violence. So it's kind of all, it's societal, it's mental, and then it's also just familial, which is really interesting.
And I just want to say, Caitlin, before you comment, that was also one of my favorite parts of the book, that the author creates this world where you can tell, like, there's all these misogynistic things happening and being, like, accepted and swept under the rug. And there's this still pervasive attitude about women and, like, pursuit of women, to the point that, like you said, Catherine, you can't tell what exactly these men are doing and, like, the extent of their misogyny and the extent of what they're doing wrong and how they're treating her, because it's like, not that she's ever justified in killing them, but you can never tell if they're bad guys or not. And I really love that.
That's what that actually leads into what I wanted to say, because so the book opens with her helping her dump a body. Mm-hmm. And then this specific man that she has killed Isla, like, or not Isla, Corday, like, pictures how his life would be going through the rest of the book. And she does all this research and finds his, like, poetry and thinks, like, wow, this, I think, was a really good guy who's, like, missed by a lot of people. And maybe it wasn't, like, that's her first kind of hint that maybe her sister's just kind of killing people because. And so I think that's, I don't know, that's where it gets interesting, because you, like, it really makes you think not all of those men deserve it. And a part of me thinks that my conclusion was Isla's just a psychopath with no emotions. And when people get too close emotionally, she gets bored and kills them. That's kind of what I landed on. Like, she has no emotions. So when it gets to the point of, like, you know, a ring or whatever, she's just like, yeah, no, I'm out.
Yeah.
And that's my hot take.
I really liked it.
Family trauma aside, I think she's a psychopath.
I mean, yeah. She definitely has some mental issues. Okay. So kind of Corday's thoughts about her sister killing people was her sister, Iula, carries around this knife that previously was owned by their father. And Corday kind of alludes to almost a curse that, and that's why she's become this kind of violent person. But why do you think Iula carries around this knife of her father's and always makes sure to pick it up at crime scenes despite using it to kill her victims? And why do you think she still carries it around post three murdered people?
See, the knife is one of, like, the big reasons why I connect her murders and her, like, serial killer to the dad, is because, like, I think the knife has really become, like, a symbol for of empowerment for her, of, like, killing men who, like, represent her father to her, whether or not that's justified or not, because, like, the knife was a symbol in their household for his violence and his domination, and so now she uses it to dominate the men that she dates and kill them. And so I thought it was a really interesting symbol. It also, I thought, was interesting to see Corday, like, thinking through why her sister always has this knife on her, and, like, yeah. And so I thought it was a good symbol in the book for power and abuse.
Yeah, I think, you know, that I think it's just a symbol of power. You know, she saw her dad had power with it. Her dad, like, threatened to sell her off to a tribesman or something. And she just sees this power, and the power represents people who only value her for her beauty. And so I think that's why she uses it as her weapon of destruction.
Yeah. I don't know if I totally buy into a curse thing.
Yeah, but no, I think she's just like, I need to do some things. And this knife did some things. So yeah.
It's just like a powerful totem, essentially, and prop.
Also, oh my gosh, I just remembered this. I just want to ask, because I don't think it's in our questions. Do you guys think that they somehow managed to kill their dad? Because yes. I feel like that's less, like, it's just this, like, weird little twist at the end, and you're like, oh shit, like, how did they do it? Like, is what it made me think is, does Corday also have the capability to be a serial killer?
Yeah, I don't think I thought as hard on that one as I should have at the time, but I do feel like Corday is very much implicated in his death because it happens so soon after the tribesmen visit and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I could see it being like a gene.
Yeah, I honestly, I answered before you even finished the question, yes. I immediately was like, okay, they planned this together. And it's like the two sisters planned the death. But for Corday, it felt like a justified death, and it's protecting her sister, which seems to be a theme of this book. But then that's kind of like Iola's first taste of blood and first taste. Cause you think about, like, serial killers and psychopathy, once they get their first taste, there's an adrenaline rush, but then they want more because there's that feeling behind it. So that could be kind of like the catalyst for her psychopathy and serial killer tendencies.
Yeah, and I think the mom probably suspects what happened to her husband, and she's like, yeah, okay, thank
Don't
you.
care. Yeah.
He seemed like an abusive shit, so.
Right. It also did make me think a little differently about Ayla's reliance on Corday, because I was like, well, when we're reading this book, for most of it, we feel like Corday has been sucked into this, like, totally out of the blue. But if Corday killed for Ayla before, it seems a little less random that now they're having to clean up murders together.
And I like what you say about Ayla kind of relies on Corday, because you don't get that vibe a lot. She's just kind of out doing her thing until like Corday is chilling in her room and Ayla was always there because she always wants to be with her at home. And you're like, oh, maybe there is a sisterly relationship here, but it doesn't translate like outside of the bedroom. I don't know. I thought that was an interesting aspect also.
Yeah. Well, it's like they're in each other's company a lot, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of actual like camaraderie. Like when you have sisters, you joke together, you laugh together, but it doesn't seem like they have that common language, but they still have that like bond of like we're always together.
But we were also introduced to them after post multiple murders. So maybe that common language was kind of stripped away from
Yeah.
them post
Tense.
multiple traumas.
Tense, yeah.
Yeah, that might make things a little tense.
Yeah, I'm not sure what me and my sisters would chat about after destroying a body together. It'd
Multiple
probably be
times.
tough. Yeah. It'd probably be tense. Yeah, I can see that.
So jumping towards the end, Ayla tries to commit another murder, and that's with Tade, Tade, whatever. She fails to do that and gets injured in the process. And then the guy's like, oh shit, you were right. Your sister was trying to kill me. Like, are you gonna do something about it? And Ayla's just kind of like, Krita's just kind of like, nah. So, Catherine put a quote in here. He says, there's something wrong with her, he says, but you, what's your excuse? And I thought that was super powerful, kind of
Yeah.
right at the end of the book, kind of wrap up point. You don't super get the answer. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I did also love that quote when I read the book, because it really hits home. And I feel like, at least for me at this point in the book, I felt almost like protective and defensive of Corday, because I had watched her just be like passed over for so many things and treated so badly simply because she didn't have the beauty that her sister had, specifically by Tade. Like, he is one of the people who does this. And so it felt almost like offensive to me that he would talk to her like that. But then I was also like, okay, but that's kind of a great point, because allegedly your sister's the serial killer, but you're the one who makes all her crimes possible. So how does that feel? And yeah, it's just, that's why I have a lot of questions, I feel like, at the end now about Corday, because I'm like, you've just let too much go on. Like, I can't believe you're no longer an innocent bystander at this point.
Right, it kind of brings you to who is the real villain of the story? Is she the victim or the villain? And she might be both. Like, she's enabling a serial killer, and she really doesn't have an excuse.
She's an accomplice to murder, that is for sure. The reason why I included that quote is because I agree with Casey. When I heard him or read him saying that, I was like, well, fuck off. Like, you can't just, because, like, personally, I know, I'm
Was
sorry.
just the most Catherine passionate.
Yes, because that first part of the quote almost minimizes the serial killer's role in this, where it's like, there's something wrong with her. So that's why she did this. But you, what's wrong with you? It almost makes it seem like what she's doing is worse than the murderer themselves. And that almost seems like exactly what Iola wants, but also exactly what society wants. It's like the beautiful person, oh, there's just something mentally wrong with her. therefore we can justify her experiences, existence, her murderous tendencies. But you, because you're not pretty and because you're helping her, you're the one at fault and have to take the blame. I was very mad at that statement. I think if you phrased it like, what's wrong with you for helping her or being an accomplice in this, I would have been fine with that statement. I just didn't like the first part of it. But I do get the sense of like, yeah, like you are very much an accessory to murder and are covering and hiding dead bodies. So you have some fault in this.
I totally agree.
She wants his attention this whole time and she finally gets it and she's like, screw you.
Yeah.
It's like, you're right. It's not great attention. It's not like, what have you been doing? It's like, oh, okay, like you're perfectly fine. Why'd you do this kind of thing? Also, I want to point out, it's a well-known fact that a lot of people who work in the medical field have psychopathic character traits, and she's a nurse, so I'm just saying.
Good point, Caitlin. Catherine, I do also love your point that it, again, minimizes Ayula's role in everything, which is like the whole story is everyone minimizing Ayula's faults and then forcing Corday to make up for them. So he's back on his bullshit yet again. I think it's a really complicated little part in the book. So,
I think that's where the ending is kind of just abrupt and messy, and left not really knowing what to think. But in most times, I hate that. And I still don't love how abrupt this is, because I would have loved to see the characters have a little bit more legs, you know? Mm-hmm. But in this one, I'm kind of like, this makes sense, because this seems like, you know, that's real life. It's messy. You don't know why people do things. And some people are just built different. And that's how it goes.
Yeah, because Corday doesn't get the man. She agrees to cover up her sister yet again. And Tide is without a job. And no one believes him, because why would a girl beat him up or try to murder him? Like, it's very, the misogyny extends even further in that sense. And it's the positive impacts of misogyny almost.
And Ayula brings home another guy at the end, and that's where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's a wild journey, but it's a good book, honestly. And it's a good quick read. I wish they had delved in more into the ending, and I wish it was more morally gray than black and white almost, if that makes sense. But yeah.
I would love to see this in like a psychology class or some sort of lit class. I think there's so much you can discuss. I think, you know, we did it quickly and briefly, even though it's been a decently long episode. I think there's a lot to unpack, and I think it's really clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, despite only really feeling like this is a 3-star book and like a good book and not a great book, I also think it is really rich and like complicated topics, and I think the author's really talented, so I would definitely read more of her work.
Yeah. I do want to end on one question, because I was very excited to write this question, and y'all have been alluding to it the whole time, but I want definitive answers. Caitlin and Casey, you both have younger sisters that are close to your age. Actually, they're probably close in like gaps between you two. Would you cover up a murder for them?
My sister knows. I'd probably beat her ass and then I'd help her out.
Yeah.
But also realistically, no, I'm a rule follower.
I'm a little bit less of a rule follower. I feel like I might be the most chaotic neutral out of all of us. Would I cover up a murder? I feel like my first route would be like, how can we explain this to the police? Like, let's try to go the lawful route first. If we really can't, like if we really can't, I will help you hide the body one time. I'm a one-time body hider. I'm not having that much on my hands. But I think I might one time.
I guess like I would have to ask some questions. Like, okay, what's the circumstances? And my sister and I have a relationship where like we don't have secrets. Mm-hmm. I talk about literally everything. Sometimes I'm like, please stop telling me that. I don't need to know that.
Right. And I feel like I'd be like, we're going to sit down. You're going to explain to me what happened. Right. And then I'm going to tell you what to do. And I'm going to pretend I wasn't here. I'm going to help you with words, but I'm not touching anything in the crime scene.
Or like, I'll help you explain it to the police or
yeah,
something. Okay. I don't know. Like, I would help my sister, but I'm not sure that means dumping a body in the river.
I would add a caveat. You're not in the U.S. and it's not a fair criminal justice system.
I mean, in the U.S.
Yeah, dump that shit in the river then. I still don't know.
It's so hard because it's so theoretical. Like, I don't know how I would feel if, like, someone was literally murdered in front of me. Like, if there was a body on the ground in front of me, like, because I do have a moral compass. I'm like, that's wrong. Like, I don't want to be entrapped in something that's wrong. But also, my sisters are my sisters. Like, I can't just give them up to the police, like, automatically either. So it's hard.
I will tell you, I have experience in
hiding a body.
Not that, no. In like a somewhat, being a kind of crisis situation with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
She is flight. She is flight. She does not function. I am fight. All like fears go out of my head and I get down to business. First of all, sweet, sweet Hannah, I love you. You could never kill a person. There's no chance. It would never happen, accidental or not. It would not happen with my sister. She is a sweet little angel. But also, like, I would be the one thinking through what the next steps are while she'd be, like, sitting in a corner, rocking back and forth, crying, because that's just how we react in crisis situations. But I would take care of her one way or another. Probably not dumping a body, though.
It's really like the actual like touching, moving of a body that is like the hang up for me.
Now, I'm helping like, you through like the justice system or figuring out an excuse or something. Yeah, I'm in.
Right. But like actually like disposing of someone's body.
And then like cleaning the blood while she just sits there.
Well, let's be honest in this podcast. We've watched a lot of true crime and listened to a lot of true crime podcasts. We probably could find a way to get away with it.
Not saying anything.
Yeah. No comment.
No comment.
As journalists, we have a lot of insight too.
Yes. Not saying we ever would.
I work for a public school district now. Let's tone it down.
Yeah.
Hey, we're dealing with serial killers and hypothetical questions. This is no, like, this has not actually happened.
I'll say I'd never do anything if I didn't have to.
I feel like that's true for a lot of our generation, though. Our generation is highly true crime obsessed. Like, there's some ideas out there.
For sure.
But would I actually do it? I'm too lawful good. I don't think I could.
It's hard, too, because, like, you know, if it's in another country and you're like pretty confident that they're not gonna be able to catch you, you know, it just makes things easier. Like the logistics aren't as important. In the US, I do actually feel like it's probably like much more difficult. Like at least the technology is at a level where you have to really clean that crime scene. And that just makes it like, let's think of a story. Let's not hide a body.
Also, like Casey said, one time, might help you out. More than once, I'd be like, girl, what is your problem?
Yeah, I'd be out at that
you
point.
In prison.
Right. I love you so
then
much.
Then she'd be like, well, I'll just tell on you for the first one, you know? And then you start all over again. It's a cycle. I don't know. I hope to never be in that situation. If you hear this, Hannah, keep your hands to yourself.
Good exactly. Thing she's married. You're good.
Yeah, to a nice boy.
He's a very nice boy. Picked him out myself.
All right, well, I think that's the end of our discussion. Let us know in the comments if you would help your siblings hide a body. We'd love to know.
This is now an episode of How to Get Away with Murder.
Period.
We love that we had a viewer write into us, and this is that we do read your comments and your emails, and we appreciate them. And eventually we'll get to your pick. So keep sending them our way. And we loved this one. So thank you.
Huge shout out to Genesis.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Genesis,
so
guys, comment and tell us how we did if you agree with what we were saying.
Yeah. If you wanted more or less, if you would had a body.
Anyway, number one fan alert. Genesis is our new number one fan. Sorry, Fiona Marie.
Absolutely. But yeah, so give us a rate and a review. Please follow us. We're at Busy Girls Pod almost everywhere. And join in the conversation. We want to hear from you.
And that being said, I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.